Thanks so much for being with us here on WPR News. Larry Mueller here. You know, losing a beloved dog or cat, it's never, never easy. But having a knowledgeable and empathic vet on your side can help ease that pain a lot. And on the show today, we're going to be talking about end-of-life care for your pets with our guest, Dr. Carrie Donahue, back with us. Been about a year, I think, since she's been with us, so it's great to have her back. She is the owner of Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Hospice and Euthanasia, works out of the Madison area, but covers a pretty broad area within the state. She provides a wonderful service. And as we talk with her, I hope you'll join in. Have you lost a pet recently? Maybe you can talk about that experience. Maybe you're wondering about, you know, when is it time? Maybe you're wondering about help that you can get from somebody like Dr. Carrie or Dr. Carrie herself. I hope you'll join in. The number to call is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Dr. Carrie Donahue, it's good to see you again. Thanks for joining in today.
Oh, thanks so much for having me back again.
Well, it's great to have you here. And you've been doing this now you've been zeroing in on this this care for
probably since about COVID times. And that's when I kind of transitioned my practice from more holistic veterinary care in general to really focusing on hospice and end-of-life care for animals. It's always home euthanasia, home end-of-life care has always really been something that I've done throughout my veterinary career since graduating in 2010. But now at this point in my career, it's really become the only thing that I do. And, you know, the demand is there for it. And more people are realizing that home euthanasia and home care at the end of life for senior pets is available and possible. So,
yeah, and I've talked to a couple of people who have, used you and worked with you and thought it was just a wonderful experience.
Thank you for saying that. Yeah, and you know, as difficult and as hard as it is when you're faced with a pet that is at the end of its life and you have to make a decision, if you can make a decision and you can choose how you want the end of their life to be, and if that's at home or in a clinic, and you can kind of invite family and friends, you can make it as peaceful and loving as you possibly can. That is such a gift, and it really can be a beautiful experience to share with your pet.
Yeah. Maybe talk a bit about, I was online looking at your website, and here's me, I'm starting to tear up just
I know.
Because you start thinking about your own pet.
You really do. You really do. And every animal that I see brings back those memories for me of when I've gone through that experience with my own animals. And boy, it is really the hardest thing, the hardest decision that I think anybody ever has to make. And because our pets are family members and we're so connected with them. But really recognizing that the decisions that you make at the end of their life are only made out of love and only because you don't want to see them struggle or suffer. And so you kind of have to keep that in perspective, as I do with every visit that I make. I have to keep that in perspective, or it would just be, I mean, it is a difficult job, but it would make it even harder. So you have to think about this as such a blessing that we're able to help animals along at that time, and such a gift to be able to do.
Yeah, and you actually visit... You go to the person's home.
I do. Yep. That is 100% of what I do, or the house calls. And based in Madison, but I really travel, like you said, all over pretty much southern Wisconsin, about a two-hour radius from Madison. Mm. So, and I get calls from all over the place. Some people that, you know, they might have a veterinary clinic, but their own vet is not able to make a house call and that they really want to be at home. Probably one of the most common reasons that I get called is for larger dogs, when they get to the point where the back legs become very weak and they're not able to get up. That's such a common reason that happens. So that, you know, doing the house call and the home visit at that time makes it a lot easier for everyone.
Yeah. You can join in. You have a comment or maybe a question for Dr. Carey. I hope you will. The number is 800-642-1234. Or, again, you could email us to talk@WPR.org. Let's go to Steve in Madison. Steve, thank you for calling.
Hi. Are you hearing me okay?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we are.
Okay. Yeah, I just kind of wanted to emphasize what a positive experience the home euthanasia can be. I don't know if it was Dr. Carey or perhaps a colleague, but it was recommended to us by Dr. Britta at Lakeview Veterinary when our aging Labradoodle girl was ready to go, and we had an in-home experience, and it was the loveliest, most sensitive, compassionately done thing that we could have imagined, and we absolutely give big thumbs up to that option, if it is an option for anyone.
Steve, thanks for calling.
Thank you so much for your comment, and really kind of speaking to that aspect of end of life and how it can be a beautiful experience at home or, you know, wherever it might be. But it really is a touching and meaningful experience that you can have with your pet.
Yeah, absolutely. Steve, thank you so much for calling. I appreciate your call. The question we often get on the program is, and you probably hear this a lot, I'm not sure when we should do something about our, you know, our dog or cat.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
I'm so worried. You know, you don't want to lose the pet.
Mm-hmm.
But exactly. You don't want to see the pet suffering, and you're not even sure if the pet's suffering.
I know. It's so hard. And, you know, that's what I'm here for. And I have a technician that works with me, and that's what she's here for. And other services that offer this is just kind of talking through those questions. When is it time? How will I know that it's time? Is my pet going to tell me? And sometimes they do in their own way, and sometimes it's not as clear. You know, a common thing is you think, oh, when they lose their appetite, when they stop eating, then I'll know it's time. Well, some animals never lose their appetite, so that's not always consistently a good measure, and you look for other things. And there are a lot of tools, luckily, that are available, even if you're not able to speak with a veterinary professional or even just family and friends who can also be helpful in making that decision, because they're not with the animal every day, and it gets difficult to see changes when you're with them and you're supporting them and caring for them on a day-to-day basis. You don't always see the changes. So that's where family and friends can step in. But even online, and there is a great app, it's called the Gray Muzzle app, and they have a quality of life scale. You can download it. They have a calendar, and you can mark down on that calendar good days and bad days, you know, because that's always a good indicator too. And that's what happens at the end of life. You have the ups and downs, and you have a couple of good days, and then you might have a really difficult day. And so you can kind of mark on that calendar and really then take a look back and see, are the bad days outnumbering the good days? Because if they are, then it is kind of points you in the direction of making the decision.
It's kind of, I won't say funny. It's strange. Sometimes you get, okay, the dog or the cat, okay, this is the end. Mm-hmm. So tomorrow, and then the next day, the dog is running around. It's like it doesn't have a care in the world.
I know, and this happens so often. I can't even tell you. And that's just kind of the business, and that is just the way of it. And so I know a lot of the appointments that are made, probably about 50% of them will cancel the next day for that very reason, because the animal is having a rebound, it's feeling better. That's great. Cancel the appointment and, you know, maybe the owners will reschedule another time. Maybe they'll have a day, maybe a week, months. You just never know. And that's why it really is kind of a day-by-day evaluation that you make. And it is difficult to schedule an appointment very far in advance because you just don't know how each day is going to go.
Although I did talk to a vet once who said that the owner's dog was really having bad days, but the owner waited until the dog was having a good day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this, I mean, I'm glad you brought that up because that is a really good point. And from my perspective and from what I've seen, I think it's better to, if you know that there are those good days and bad days, it's almost better to make the decision on a good day. Wouldn't you want to have your last day be a day where you can enjoy some of the things that you love and you can eat everything that you want to eat and you can really take in all of that love from your family and then make a peaceful transition at that point instead of being in obvious suffering and pain? So that's a good point.
Mary in New London, thank you for calling. Mary, what's on your mind?
Hi, I'm just wondering if she can discuss or explain that the importance of an owner being present during the dog's last moments, so that the people who are like, I can't do it, it's too emotional, I can't say, you know, I can't be there when my dog passes. But it's important to your pet that you are.
Yeah, and that is, it is such a personal decision. And it's most people that I see when I do the home visits, they're there with their pet. And I think that is a really nice and supportive thing for the pet to know that their family is with them and is standing by them as they've been standing by the family their entire lives, you know. But some people really have a difficult time. And another thing that I offer is being with the pet after I give the sedative injection, which is the first injection that kind of helps the pet fall asleep. And then if the next step, which is the actual administration of the euthanasia solution, if that's too difficult to be there, then stepping away at that point because the animal's not really aware of anything anymore. So there are different levels, you know, of being present for your pet. But I think if you can be there, it's a loving thing to do.
Dr. Carrie Donahue, our guest, owner and founder of Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care. She works out of Madison. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Thank you so much for being with us here on WPR News. Larry Mueller with my guest, Dr. Carrie Donahue, owner and founder of Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care. She works in Madison, but travels at least within a couple of hours away from Madison, as she has clients and helps with end-of-life care for your pet. Mary in East Troy, will give you a chance. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry and Dr. Carrie. So I appreciate so much what she does because I've been blessed to be able to do that over the years. No matter where I lived, I was able to find a vet to come to the home with my older labs. My question was, The hardest time was, I was wondering if you bring some along. The hardest time was when I had a mobile vet female come out, and then she needed us to carry out my pet and put him in the back of her car. That was more traumatizing than any of the other experiences, because in the other experiences, the vet I brought someone with, and after they put him down, you know, I was with him till the end, and then I left the room, and he just went to heaven, and I, you know, my last experience was just petting him as he slept. Carrying him out to the car was devastating.
Well, I'm sorry that you had that experience, and again, this is, it's such a personal thing, and everybody is so individual. With that aspect, with larger dogs, and I will say typically I come by myself when I do house calls. So if it is a big dog, I do need assistance. But I ask clients ahead of time if they are willing and able to assist me in carrying their pet to my vehicle, or if they would like me to bring an additional person along. So some people want to be a part of that process, and the kind of almost like pallbearers, you know, mm-hmm. and that is kind of what it is, transferring to my vehicle before I go to the cremation service. Or and some people, like the caller, don't want to be a part of that, and that's just everybody's choice.
Yeah, everybody's choice. And speaking of that, sometimes, I mean, on your site, I was looking at, there are sort of different alternatives that a, you know, a person can choose from. You know, maybe the person, you know, if it's a rural area, maybe they want to keep, bury the pet right on there.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And in Wisconsin, you know, we're kind of limited by the winter or so. But this time of year, when the ground is not frozen, I do have a lot of people that choose to bury their pets on their own property. And you do just have to check with your city ordinances to make sure mm-hmm. that that's okay. I mean, Madison, it's not really the same option as other more rural places. And you want to have a decent depth of a minimum of 3 feet, but that's certainly an option. Otherwise, I work with a cremation service, and they offer either individual cremation where pet owners can get their own pet's ashes back, or communal cremation where they don't. And so definitely options for aftercare.
I mentioned rural areas, and Tina in Melrose called. They had a big coon hound named Jake. Nobody would come to the farm to have have him put down. She wonders about options for people in rural areas.
Yeah, and that's something where, like I was saying, I travel quite a big radius just to cover some of those areas, at least 2 hours outside of Madison. But there are certainly places, northern Wisconsin, where I hear that quite a bit. There are just no veterinarians that offer house calls. And people might have a vet clinic that they go to. And, you know, this is kind of something that's changing. It used to be where a lot of vets would take time out of their clinic schedule during the day and make a house call and go help an animal at the end of life. But now so many clinics are just so busy that that's not really a possibility. So, but I will say things are changing. And this home euthanasia aspect of care is really growing. So hopefully, you know, if you're in that position again at some point in the future, there will be somebody that would be able to help.
Jan in Middleton, your turn. Hi, Jan. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for taking my call. I just want to support and applaud the in-home euthanasia. We did this. We had to do this with our beloved Annie probably 10 years ago, and we used the services of another person that had been recommended to us. And I get teary thinking about it. It was just so lovely to have this done in our home. It was so compassionate. And then when we just to be with Annie when she left, and then we had neighbors that were with us as we followed her out to the car where she was taken to be cremated, and so I have her remains. But what I'm calling is about, I think it's very difficult sometimes for the families of our companion animals to let go of their pets because they become really, really attached, and I totally understand it. But just to remember that we don't want our companion animals, our pets, our family members, to suffer. And it really is the most kind and loving and compassionate thing that you can do for your animal. And then just to realize that it is a grief process. But I'm still crying. It's 10 years when I'm talking. So thank you so much for being on this show and putting this out there for other people to hear. I really appreciate it.
Jan, thank you very much for calling. And sorry for your loss, even though it was 10 years ago.
I know. it
you don't get over it.
You don't get over it. It is the hardest thing, and the grief process continues. But yeah, this is just one part of it, of, you know, making the end of a pet's life as peaceful and as loving as it can be. And as the caller said, it is so hard. But what's harder to me is to see them struggle and to see them suffer. So it's, yeah.
Dino and Madison, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I've got a 4-year-old and a 16-year-old Whippet, and the 16-year-old Whippet is starting to show his age, 2 years longer than most of our Whippets have lasted. Mm-hmm. And I think we attribute much of that to the 4-year-old's presence and play and interaction. And I'm wondering how to handle the euthanasia at home with the other dog. Should he be part of that?
Yeah, that's a very good question.
It is, and it's a very common question, too, because a lot of households do have more than one pet. My recommendation is to allow them to be present. They don't, and kind of letting them choose where they want to be during the process. If you have a very vibrant, energetic young dog that might interfere with the process, then you might think about maybe putting them away during the actual procedure itself so they're not interfering. But I definitely think it's good either during or at least after for all the pets in the household to have the opportunity to see the pet that has passed on and to sniff them. They often don't give you, you know, too much of an indication that they, you know, really realize what has happened, but they know. They absolutely know. And this is just another kind of nice thing about the home visit, is because all of the companion animals can be there, so they know what's happening.
Yeah, I think that's really, really good. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Oh, Dennis emailed. He said he spotted your article in Good Health magazine.
Oh, really? Okay. Oh, thank you.
Tell us what that was.
Well, that was Good Health magazine. That's when I was doing more of my holistic practice. So that wasn't focused on end of life. That's when I kind of talked more about different herbal supplements.
Okay, gotcha. And Denny emailed. I think you've kind of covered this, but... like some humans, do declining pets seem to recover before dying? I think we did kind of cover that, but
we did, and it is. It's the rebound, and that you can see over and over, and that's what makes people second guess themselves and all of those things. But just knowing that it's going to happen, and you know, my general recommendation, too, with kind of the ups and the downs and the good days and bad days, is you can have a bad day or maybe two, but if you're getting into the third kind of bad day where your pet has very low energy, isn't eating, then it's time. So, you know, and taking the good days and enjoying every moment of them, that's all you can do.
Yeah. Pet hospice care.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that I'm not sure many people know about.
Yeah, and that's something that I do offer to clients. I will say I don't get a lot of calls for pet hospice specifically, and I think that's because most people provide hospice for their pets without needing, you know, another vet to kind of walk them through everything. But hospice care is really supporting your pets and providing pain relief, providing comfort, making sure that they have the best quality of life that they can have for as long as you can, until you can no longer provide that good quality of life for them. So, you know, even doing things like putting out runner rugs in your house or yoga mats or potty pads, so, you know, in case your pet has an accident, or giving your cat a lower ledge of a litter box. Those are all kind of aspects of hospice care, just making it easier for them to get around and so that they're not painful, and providing supplements and pain medications as you need to. So a lot of people do hospice, and it's hard work. It can be exhausting when you're faced with an older animal, you know, that, you know, yeah. has a medical condition that might be restless. You might not be getting a lot of sleep. So, yeah, it can be a lot of work, but it's rewarding.
Well, your work is very rewarding, Dr. Carey, and thank you so much for being with us. We'll look forward to another visit.
Thank you so much.
Dr. Carey Donahue, she is owner and founder of Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care. You can find her online. She's got a wonderful website under Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care in Madison. She'll be back, and we'll talk with her again. And thank you for joining us today. You know, we got a team effort here. Our producers, Clara Neipert and Joel Patnaud. We've got technical directors, Lee Rayburn, Jeff Robbins. Our executive director is Jill Nadeau. I'm Larry Mueller. Thank you for listening, and stay with us. Lots in store on WPR News.